and on through Tecumseh. That's the place I told you about before, where they nearly all speak French. And then we turned onto one of the super highways where you put your foot on the gas pedal and forget all about it. To see that her tail was having the right effect on me, satisfied that I was paying sufficient attention, she continued, "We beetled along somewhat for a time, and then I said, 'Gee, Gov, press the jolly old gas pedal down.' What?" He speeded the contraption up a bit, but I saw that we were only doing 60, which was very legal, maybe 65. Then there was a clang and a shower of sparks, like Guy Fawkes' Night, shot out beneath us and trailed his turn. He still looked away. The wheel was loose in his hand. Chen, in order to build up the suspense and when she observed that I was fairly panting, she resumed 65 and a lick more steering. The track rods had dropped off. Fortunately, there was not much traffic. I managed somehow to pull up the car and it slithered to a halt with one front wheel hanging over a ditch of burning rubber, because he had had to put on the brakes hard in order to keep us from turning over in the ditch by hand, and then he got back and used reverse gear to get us on the road again. Phone and called the garage to come and pick up the pieces there while we waited for the breakdown truck to come for us. Marveled. Miss Ku showed no signs of strain. She was calm and collected to hardly wait for her to continue. "But Miss Ku," I prompted her, "the steering had just been repaired. That is why the car was at the garage." "But, sure," replied Miss Ku, "all the steering things that had been replaced dropped off because the split pins or something had been forgotten." Saying, "A breakdown truck with a great crane on the back of it came miles to meet us." Alive? Noises. We all manhandled the car so that the truck could get in front on the front seat and yelled over the noise telling everyone what to do. "Oh. It was a real do, Fief," she exclaimed. "I haven't told you the half of it." Three of us got in the front seat of the Monarch, and the crane lifted the front wheels clear of the ground. "Must look." Then the truck started on the way home, with us swaying and jolting behind. Transmission looked early at me and said, "You are not an engineer, Fief. If you were, you would know that it is very damaging to tow a car with automatic transmission. Too fast a tow can wreck everything, and this tow did. But there, I am not giving a technical lecture, it would be beyond you anyhow, Fief." "And then?" "Oh, yes, we rattled over the railroad crossing at Tecumseh and soon were in front of the garage, because he had paid to have all those parts replaced, but the garage man would not admit liability, saying it was an act of God. Whatever that means." I could not carry the Gov all that way. The rattle of dishes, and thought it was time to see about some food for us. I had not been able to eat while waiting and worrying. "Were you not frightened? 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 Glory be and 10 tomcats, no." "Best the Gov could, and I was there to advise him." Ma kept very calm. We did not have any trouble with her, but she took it all as a matter of course. For the eats, our seats beneath the bed and wandered out into the kitchen where supper was ready. "Fourth," said Miss Gu, "wonder what's biting him now?" We hurried up with our supper so that we could go in and listen without losing too much food or knowledge. He urged Miss Gu, "We can wash while we listen." We moved into the living room and sat down to wash after our supper and pick up all the news. "Tired of that car," rumbled the Gov. "We should change it for something better." Ma made noises, clearing her throat and all that, which indicated she was dubious. "Hark at Ma," whispered Miss Gu, "she is counting out the shekels." "8. Asked Ma, "we are still waiting for those royalties. They should be here any day now." "Wait. Now we still have something with which to do an exchange. Would it? The old Monarch will have fallen to pieces and be worthless. Or to do it, we shall never do it." "Monkey Rouse has been terrible," said Buttercup, changing the subject. "I don't know what we can do with him." Buttercup did not understand the cat language, and applauded, giving Buttercup a polite and highly censored translation. "Night. As I lay down to sleep, I thought how dangerous these cars were. A lot to have them serviced, and then bits dropped off and made more costs. Countryside in a tin box on wheels, I called it, much preferring to stay at home and never move out again. Much traveling, I thought, and where had it got me? To Ireland. And if I had not moved to that country, I should not have been able to meet the Gov, Ma, Buttercup, and Miss Gu. Now fully awake, I sauntered out into the kitchen to get a light meal in order to while away some of the night hours. There I met Miss Gu, who had been unable to sleep for thinking over the dangerous hours of the day. Monkey Rouse chattered irritably and, as always with Monkey Rouse, I heard water splashing. Elbow and muttered, "Bet the Detroit River has been much deeper since that thing came to live with us. Must have gone off her head to want such a creature." "Was into the night air." "Night, thief," said Miss Gu. The next morning the Gov went up to the garage to see what could be done about the car. Way most of the morning, and when he came back he was driving the Monarch. The Gov always has a family conference when there is anything important to be decided. Eastern trait to which we cats subscribe, Miss Gu and I always discussed things before one of us did anything important, and Ma and Miss Gu sat together. As Monkey Rouse had no intellect and merely shrieked hate, hate. Wanna leave. Didn't want to come. "First," said the Gov, "we shall have to move out of this house. People that the other side of the road is going to be used as a city garbage dump. They are going to fill in the ditch with refuse. That will bring hordes of flies in the summer. This road is almost impassable in the summer because of the American trippers." "On move." "Next," he continued, "the steering has been put in order on this car, but it will soon want a lot of money spent on it. I consider that we should go to Windsor and trade in this car for another." "Third thing is, what are we going to do about Monkey Rouse?" "Us, and as the vet says, he will need more and more attention. He knows all about monkeys." For quite a time we sat and discussed things, cars, houses, and monkeys. "This morning," said Ma, "if you have it on your mind it is just as well to get it over. To look at a house as well." "Golly," muttered Miss Gu, "action at last. They sure are hot stuff this morning." "Sheila, what about Monkey Rouse?" "He could be cured," she replied, "and as he obviously is getting no better, and is missing the other animals, I think he should go back." "How foolish it was, living out in the wilds away from Windsor. I want to see the shops, to see life." "And a place right in Windsor this time," said the Gov. "We shan't find anywhere if we just sit here," she said. "I will go and get ready." The rude things to the Monarch which had let us down. Before Ma could get ready and go out to the car, the Gov returned. "That man up the road," he said, "he was passing by and saw me in the garage. It's some pressmen have been snooping around the place, trying to find out just where we live." "Press people came from many different parts of the world, all demanding an exclusive scoop. Also got letters from all over the world, and although not one in a thousand enclosed return postage, the Gov replied to them all." "Get replies to all the letters." "Miss Gu and I have turned discrimination him the sense of a thing than have to dig out facts in order to convince him. Common sense is much more reliable than emotion." "Called up the stairs to Buttercup, Sheila. There are a crowd of press dopes about. Answer the door, and make sure it is locked." Reversed it and turned. "Well, old woman cat," said Miss Coodley, "I shall soon be driving in another and better car." "More motoring, thief. It would broaden your outlook." "And yourselves, you cats," said Buttercup, coming down the stairs. "I want to do this floor." On the Gov's bed, Miss Gu looked out of the window and told me of the scene. "The ice is breaking up on the lake, thief," she told me with glee. "I can see great chunks swirling away where the current is strong. Means the weather will soon be warmer." "Boat, you'd like that. All the drink around you, you would never be thirsty." "Gregarious, we must have loved people around us." And almost stopped while we sat and waited. Buttercup was busy in the kitchen and we did not want to disturb her. Was chanting away to himself, "Wantago, Wantago, Wantago. Hate all. Hate all." I thought how tragic it was. Here he had the best of homes and yet he was not satisfied. The French carriage clock struck 11. Miss Gu was already asleep, her breath a gentle sound in the silence of the room. Chapter 9. G.O.G. With Elan, what a mighty fine automobile. It is my new car, it is stopping here. Nose harder and harder against the glass of the kitchen window. It's blue, thief. The color of your eyes, and it has a white top. Are clever to get a heap like that. I must possess my soul in patience, I thought, and wait until she tells me more. Quite hard, at times, being blind and having to depend so much upon the good offices of others. A car the color of my eyes, she had said. Smart and show off the blue to the best advantage. Doors being shut, the Gov and Ma would be in soon, footsteps coming nearer along the path, opening of the screen door and the slam as the spring shut it after. Eager as Miss Gu and I, out to see it, the Gov asked Miss Gu and me. No, thank you very much. Miss Gu will describe it for me when she returns. Atta, carrying a well-wrapped Miss Gu, went out to the car. Whose telepathic thoughts as she wanted me to. Scrumptious, thief, beautiful smell of leather. Mats you can really get your claws into. Great jumping grasshoppers, there's acres of glass and room to sit just inside the rear window. Da, thief, see you later. Some people say, well, Mrs. Grey Whiskers, why could you not pick up the telepathic messages all the time? So to that very sensible question is, if all cats used their telepathic powers at full strength constantly, the air would be so full of noise that no one would understand any message. Even humans have to regulate their radio stations in order to prevent interference. Let's get on the wavelength of the cat they desire to call, and then distance does not matter, but any other cat listening on that wavelength also hears the message. So privacy is lost. Is close-range speech when we want to converse privately, and use telepathy for long-range discussions and messages and for broadcasting to the cat community. Wavelength, determined from the basic frequency of the aura, one can converse with a cat anywhere, and language is no bar. What people, and that includes cats, tend to think in their own language and to project thought pictures directly constructed from their own culture and conception of things. No apology for going into some details on this, for if my book gives humans even a slight understanding of cat problems and thoughts, it will be well worthwhile. And a cat see the same thing, but from a different viewpoint. Whatever is on that table, a cat sees only the underside of the table, of chairs, the view beneath a motor car, legs stretching upwards like trees in a forest. A floor is a vast plain dotted with immense objects and clumsy feet. No matter where he may be, sees the same type of view, and so another cat will make out the sense of a message. From humans is a different matter, for they project a picture, the perspective, or viewpoint, of which is so utterly alien to us that we are sometimes puzzled. Offs, lie on the floor, with your head resting on the floor, and then you will see as a cat sees. Duh, and on walls so that they may see as humans see and so understand the thoughts which come to them. Are uncontrolled and radiate everywhere. Only people like my Gov can control the radiation and spread of their thoughts so as not to jam all others and me that humans conversed by telepathy many years ago, but they abused the power badly and so lost it. Like us, humans formerly used vocal speech for private talk within a group, and telepathy for long distance and group use. Now, of course, humans, or most of them, use vocal speech only. Great cats. We have brains and abilities. In the generally accepted sense of that word, we use intuition. To us, we know the answer without the necessity of having to work it out. Humans will not believe this, but, as the Gov has just remarked, if people, human people, would explore the things of this world before attempting space, they would be better fitted for the latter. If it were not for the things of the mind, there would be no mechanical things at all. It takes a mind to think out a mechanical device. Legends tell of great things between humans and cats in the days of long ago, before humans lost their powers of telepathy and clairvoyance. Did some human laugh at the idea of cats having legends? And why not laugh at the human gypsies who have legends going back centuries? They'll recall at all times, and can use the Akashic record. Do not write either, but the stories they know are passed down through the centuries. Who understands cats? Do you? Cats have no intelligence? Really, you live with a race of people whom you do not know, because we, the cat people, do not want to be known. I am hoping that someday the Gov and I may together write a book of cat legends, and it will be a book that will truly amaze humans. All this is far removed from what I am writing about now. It was shining warmly upon me through the kitchen window when Miss Koo returned. Good thing the car has such an efficient heater. Light refreshment after the excitement of the new car. It's good, thief, she said. I guess the outing has perked up my appetite. You ought to take a ride. Then maybe you will eat even more than you do now, if possible. Never disguised the fact that I liked my food. After years of semi-starvation, it was nice and comforting to be able to eat just when one wanted to. Rushing after our meal, I said, will you tell me about the car, Miss Gu, please? Her ears and combed her vibrissa. I've told you about the color, she said. and I suppose you want to know what happened. Well, we got in the car and the Gov told Buttercup and me all about it. Ma drove to the car lot and there they examined a lot of cars. Well, and he pointed out this one as being very good, traded in. Both of us out for a ride later. He is going to go specially slow for you. But very kindly, for making such a noise. Sane, of that we were sure. Always complaints from him. Hooray! Yelled Miss G, leaping into the air with joy. Old Misery Monk is going. Everything will be drier than ps frozen. The night before had been colder than usual, and we had had the water supply frozen. Was the wettest monkey ever. Taking him back, said the Gov. Can't just drop this creature on an unsuspecting world. They used a telephone if he could help it, because he often picked up the thoughts of a person instead of what they were saying. Two very different things. After a few incidents where the Gov had picked the wrong meaning, they made a rule that Ma or Buttercup should use the instrument. Ma acted as business manager because the Gov said she was more fitted to do it. Ma saw to all the accounts, but only because the Gov wanted it that way, adding glumly, but they will not refund any money. So upset that she stammered a little and shuffled her feet. He obviously does not like it here. Would be better in a house without cats. Take him back. Sure? Pressed the Gov. Yes, we will take him back for his own good. All right, I will get out the car now. Monkey rouse, want Argo. Want Argo. Sadly Buttercup took him out of his cage and wrapped a blanket round him. The big cage and put it in the commodious car trunk, for a time, running the engine so that the heater could warm the car for monkey rouse. The temperature. He gave a toot on the horn for Buttercup, and the sound of the engine speeding up and fading away into the distance was a beautiful one, and Miss G loved it dearly. Few times, but as I have already said, I am not at all fond of cars. Once the Gov took Ma, Miss G and me to a pleasant place beneath the Ambassador Bridge. In the car and the Gov opened the window a trifle so that I could catch the scent of Detroit across the river. Reminds me that scent is definitely the wrong word here, but it is at least a polite word. In the warmth of the car, Miss G described the scene for me. Above us the Ambassador Bridge stretches across the Detroit River like a Meccano toy across a bathtub. Trucks, that is American for lorries, fief, rumble across in an endless procession. Private cars there are in plenty. Stop their cars on the bridge in order to take photographs. From us is a railroad marshalling yard, while to the right the Americans are building some big hall because Americans like to go to such places and talk. Conferences, or conventions, they call them. It really means that they get away from the misses, freeload on drinks, and get tangled up with paid girlfriends. The ice is coming down. Some of it and save it until the summer. We would make a fortune. No Miss G, no thank you, I replied nervously. I fear that I should not enjoy it a bit. See, there would be no point in me going. I'm sure the Gov would love to take you, though. You really are a drippish sissy, fief. I'm ashamed at your stick in the mudishness. Let's take the cats home and go house hunting, said Ma. I didn't like that place from the start. But goodbye, Mr. the Ambassador Bridge. Ambassadors and consuls, and so I did not want to be at all disrespectful to that bridge. And hummed into life, and Miss Q called to the Gov. Okay. The Gov put a gentle pressure on a pedal and the car eased slowly up the snow-covered slope and onto Riverside Drive. As we passed Windsor Station a train hooted with impatience and I almost jumped out of my skin with fright, past the drink factory and on. Vent and Miss Q made the remark that she always thought of Mr. Loftus, away in Ireland, when she passed the place. A daughter who is a sister in a convent, and we hear that she is doing very well indeed. Long drive, and the Gov said, home, fief, you will soon be having your tea. Shall we have tea first? Rab, then we need not worry about the time. The Gov has had so much suffering that he has to eat often and little. Because of the lean years before I came home, as the old apple tree had predicted, I too had had hardship, and I'd to eat often and little. Ma and well wrapped, for the snow was yet upon the ground, went to her and told her I was glad to be back. It was soon over. Bade Miss Goo and me goodbye and told us to look after Buttercup. Resources for an hour or two, we first took some exercise. I chased Miss Q around the room, then she chased me. Competition to see who could make the most holes in the newspaper in the shortest time. Soon pulled, And anyhow, we had no more newspaper. See who can walk on the stair rail farthest, thief, without falling off, jested Miss Ku, immediately followed by, oh, forgot, you can't see, well, that's out. She sat down and gently scratched her left ear in the hope of obtaining a flash of inspiration. Book softly, because I want you to lull me to sleep. You can go to sleep after, she added magnanimously. Very good, Miss Ku, I replied. I will tell you of the cat who saved the kingdom. Sir Dilly, well, get cracking. In 1,000 or 1,000,000 years, the island lay green and beautiful beneath the warm gaze of a gently smiling sun. Air in which rainbows stretched all embracing arms, fertile and luxuriant, with the tall, graceful trees reaching high into the heavens there to be caressed by balmy breezes. Air grounds rivers came bounding over huge boulders, to fall tinkling into great pools before spreading out and flowing more sedately into the ever-welcoming sea. To land mountains rose and hid their crowns above the clouds, providing maybe foundations for the homes of the gods, and made love. Here there was nothing but peace, joy, and ineffable contentment. No thought for the future, no thought of sorrows or evil, but only joy beneath the gently waving palms. A broad road led inwards from the shore, disappearing into the cool dusk of an immense forest, to reappear miles away where the scene was very different. Wrought in colored stone and metals such as silver and gold, mighty spires which reached aloft to probe the skies, domed cupolas, and vast expanses of time-mellowed buildings. A high temple embrasure came the notes of a deep-toned gong, scattering into flight thousands of birds who had been dozing in the sunlight along the hallowed walls. Chiming continued. Yellow-robed men hastened to a central building. Hush continued, then it slackened and in the open all was quiet again. In assembly of the immense temple the monks shuffled uneasily, speculating upon the reason for the sudden cool. Far recesses of the temple and a small file of yellow-robed men came into view. The obvious leader, an old man wizened and dried by the years, walked slowly ahead, escorted by two immense cats, cats with black tails, ears and mask, and white bodies. There was, it was clear, complete telepathic understanding between the old man and the cats. The podium, where the old man stood a moment, gazing out upon the sea of faces confronting him. "Is of all degree," he said at last, slowly, "I have called you here to tell you that this, our island, is in mortal danger. Beasts who inhabit the land of the other side of the mountain, cut off from us by a deep gorge which almost divides this island, they are not easy of access. Science has supplanted religion, they have no god, no conception of the rights of others, brothers of all degree." The old priest stopped, and looked sadly around. Attention of his audience, he resumed, "We have been threatened godly and become utterly subservient to these evil men. They threaten to destroy us with strange and deadly germs." Was wearily, with the weight of his years heavy upon him, "We may circumvent this threat to our existence and freedom. We know where the germ cultures are stored, for some of us have tried in vain to steal them that they may be destroyed. Those whom we sent have been tortured and killed." "Holy Father," said a young monk, "would these germ cultures be bulky, heavy to carry?" And with them, he sat down, overcome with his temerity in addressing the Holy Father. Sadly before him, "Bulk, is no bulk. The germ cultures are contained within a tube which may be held between a finger and thumb, yet one drop would spread across our land and annihilate us." "Bulk, but the germ culture is contained within a tower which is heavily guarded," mopped his brow. "To show their contempt of us they placed it at an open window, well within sight of all those whom we have sent into their land." "Slender tree stretches a delicate branch across the window, a branch but as thick as my wrist. Of us they send a message saying that we should pray until we were light-headed and then perhaps the branch would support us." Continued into the early hours of the morning, monk discussing with monk ways and means of saving their people from destruction. "They would be vanquished and we would be saved from destruction," said one monk. "That is so," said another, "but if we could knock it down we could reach it, and if we could hold it we then would hold the power, for it is said that there is no antidote, no way of staving off the evil germs." In an inner sanctum the old man lay in exhaustion upon his couch. Beside him, guarding him, lay the two cats. "Holiness," said one by telepathy, "could not I go into the land, climb the tree and remove the file?" The other cat looked across at his companion. "We will go together, he said, it will double the chance of success. Thinking of all that was at stake. The solution, he said, for no one but a cat could climb that tree and move out upon the branch. You may have the solution, for a while, and no telepathic cat would ever intrude upon one's private thoughts. It may be the answer, the old man said again. We'll have you both carried up to and across the gorge that you be not tired, and we will there await your safe return. He paused and then added, and we will tell no other what it is that we will do, for even in a community such as this there are those who talk too freely to obtain their terms, and that will distract their attention from you. Followed were busy ones. The high priest let it be known that he desired to send an emissary, and an answer was received that it would be permitted. Passes to the gorge, crossed, and were in enemy territory. The emissary went on into the enemy stronghold, and under cover of darkness the cats were released from the baskets. As silent as the night itself they made off. Stealthily they approached the tree and paused at its foot. Powers in order to determine the presence of any enemy, while the other used every telepathic ability in order to keep the closest watch. With infinite caution the climbing cat crawled along the branch until at last he could snatch the file under the nose of the startled guard. Pouring out of the tower, the two cats had dissolved into the darkness, carrying back to the old priest the file which would safeguard his land for years to come. In that land, cats are sacred to the country's descendants, and only the cat knows why. Chuated my closing sentence, but at least I can soothe Miss Goo to sleep. However, up, tall and erect, start washing, thief, she commanded. They are on their way home and I cannot have you looking slovenly. Moments later we heard a car engine, followed by the rattle of the garage door. Upon the path, and the governed Ma came in, her apron and putting it aside, suit us fine, Flap as well. The gov often called Miss Koo Fanny Flap because of the way she rushed round in her excitement. Not ask me to go to the new apartment, but the gov knew that I hated such things, much preferring to wait until we all moved in together. There for a blind cat, why should I go when I knew nothing of the place, did not even know of objects to avoid? Preferred to wait until all was settled, all the furniture was in place, because then the gov and Miss Goo would take me to each room and point out the location of things, and the gov would lift me up and down to objects so that I could memorize how far I should have to jump. Which I jump up to wherever I want to be. At times I bump into things, but I have wits enough not to bump into the same thing twice. Away long return Miss Goo came bustling over to me. Get your ears back, thief, she commanded. It is time you were briefed. Hulk can write another book. Live in the upstairs apartment. It has large rooms and looks over the Detroit River. Large railed balcony which the gov says we can use when the weather is warmer. And thief, there is an attic where we can play and get ourselves covered with dust. Love it. A book, eh? I knew that people had been impressing him with the need for another book. I knew that he had had some special instructions from discarnate entities. Already the title had been decided upon. Soon as we move and next week we are going to see Mrs. Durr and get some paper and so start the book. Durr? I inquired. Who is Mrs. Durr? Is her. She is a lady bookseller who for the moment is working for a Windsor firm, but she is soon to set up her own business. Don't know Mrs. Durr? Well, that ever out of this world, she shook her head and muttered with disgust. Ike, Miss Goo, human cat. And I'll tell you. The window legend sat facing each other. Have missed something. To her friends, is elegant, plumpish to the right amount, nice features, and Mark calls her auburn-haired, whatever that means, as crinolines most of the time, not in bed, I suppose, and the gov says that she looks like a figure in Dresden china. Good skin, too, you know, like porcelain, get me, thief? Books and things, and although she is really Dutch she sells books in England. Books like her, we hope to see more of her now that we are going to live in Windsor City. For a moment in contemplation of Mrs. Durr's virtues, then it occurred to me to ask, and is she any cat family? Asks I'm sure I heard her sniff a few times. But can't, and he is a queen as well who can't either. Mixed up in his, or her, vital department. Heart of gold, yes, a heart of gold. Just person you could meet. I, very reserved as one would expect of one in his condition, would make a good mother to some homeless kitten. I must speak to the gov about it. Is there a Mr. Durr? I queried, then added, of course there must be or she would not be Mrs. Oh yes, there is a Mr. Durr. He makes the milk for Windsor, Without him everyone would be thirsty. He is Dutch too, so that makes the daughter double Dutch I think. You will like a Mrs. Durr. She is worth purring at the house. Next week we shall move and I told the gov I would see that you are not frightened. I shall not be frightened, Miss Gu, I replied. I have moved around quite a lot.